So good. He really is so good. Good to me. You guys join in on this song. It's one of my favorite songs.
Who am I that the highest king would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me, oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me, his grace. A slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the sun set free, oh, it's free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. In my thank you. sing it with me. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Jesus, thank you for bringing all of us together this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for all of our blessings. Amen.
Praise to the King of Kings, yeah. You are my everything.
filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name, Jesus. Your name is power, breath, and living water. It's such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Oh, yeah. All creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Hallelujah. You know, that song is called the Revelation Song. And do you know why it's called the Revelation Song? Because it's right out of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 4. In verse number 7, this is the John the Apostle had a revelation of heaven. And he said, around the throne and on each side stood four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. And the first living creature resembled a lion, the second an ox, the third had a human face, and the fourth was like an eagle in flight. And each of the four living creatures had six wings, full of eyes all around, and under their wings they worshiped God without ceasing, day and night, singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to the one who is enthroned and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall face down before the one seated on the throne, and they worship the one who lives forever and ever, and they cast their crowns before the throne, singing, "You are worthy, O Lord, our Lord and our God, to receive glory, honor, and power, for you created all things, and by your plan they were created and they exist." We join with the angels. I want you to know that around the throne of God, there are angels 24 hours a day without ceasing. They are singing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, glory, holy." And we join with the angels and we too declare, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Lord, you are mighty. Lord, you are worthy of our praise. We exalt you. We magnify you. We give you honor." Do you know, David said, David said, seven times a day, I will shout praises unto God. I'm telling you, I'm trying to make it more and more a habit in my life of just during the day, just saying, Lord, I just want to praise you. I just want to worship you. You are so good. Just throughout the day, just to give him praise. Let me tell you, this isn't something we do just on Sunday morning. Sing a couple of songs. Worship is a way that you live. Every day, worshiping him, giving him praise. Amen. We're so glad you're here today, and we're so glad for you watching today. And this is our prayer and praise time. We want to pray. Let me tell you, if there's any time that we, the church, should be praying, is right now. This is not the time to stop praying. This is the time to pray more than ever before. Because the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, the Lord says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Let me tell you, if we will, as the church around the world, cry out to God, he is the healer, and pray, as we pray, he said, I will heal the land. Will you pray with me today? Will you join with me today? Come on, Father, we look to you today. We cry out and call upon you. You're the creator of heaven and earth. There's nobody like you, Lord. You are almighty. You are all-powerful. You're the Savior. You're the healer. We look to you, Lord. We call upon you that your healing power would be manifest around this world, that you would restore people's health. In the name of Jesus, we speak and come against this sickness, this disease, this pandemic, this coronavirus. We command you to desist. We command you to cease. And we curse you in the name of Jesus. We command you to be gone. And Lord, we pray that your healing power would work all around this world. We pray for a mighty revival. We pray, Father, that churches would be filled. We pray, Father, that Christians would go out and share the gospel like never before in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we want to pray. We lift up America. We pray for the United States of America. We pray, Lord, for the healing of this nation. We pray for revival to spread across this nation. We pray for a mighty move of God to sweep from coast to coast, from north to south. Lord, across every town, every city, every state, your presence, your spirit, we pray that you would move mightily in this nation. And we pray for our president, that you would guide him, that you would strengthen him, that you would give him godly wisdom, and that he would listen to godly counsel in the name of Jesus. I want to pray for you who are watching today. Whatever it is that you may be facing, I want you to know the Lord is our healer. He is our provider. He is our protector. He is our deliverer. He is everything that you need. He said, I will meet all your needs by my riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. I want to pray for you, whatever it is right now. Father, I pray for this, every person watching me right now. I pray, Lord, if they need healing in your body, in their body, let your healing power flow right now. Release your healing anointing to flow into their body. I command sickness to go. I command disease to go. I command pain to go in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, I ask you to supply every financial need. Those that have lost their job, I thank you, Lord, that you are our source and you are our provider. And I'm asking you, Lord, to provide every need, to send prosperity now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that there is nothing that is too hard for you. Father, I pray that you bring restoration. Whatever it is that they may be facing right now, bring restoration in families, relationships, healing, provision, deliverance, protection. In Jesus' name, Lord, I ask you right now to meet every need in the name of Jesus. And if you need prayer today, I want to encourage you. My wife and I are going to be standing at the front. And if you need prayer, we want to pray for you. The Bible says the believer will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Amen. If you need prayer, come right now. We're going to sing our last song. It's called What a Beautiful Name. Let's lift up the name that is above every name. The Bible says Jesus has been given a name that is highly exalted. It's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must declare that he is Lord. Come on, let's lift up the name of Jesus. Sing it with us today.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a beautiful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Sing it with me, church. Here we go. Death.
Death could not hold you. The veil torn before you. You silenced the boast of sin. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again, 'cause you have no rival, you have no equal. Your
Family, we need to be declaring the name of Jesus over every room in our household. We need to be declaring the name of Jesus over our businesses and over our children and over our families. We need to be declaring the lordship of Jesus in every area of our lives, because if we begin to declare his name, the things that come against us will begin to bow at his name. For that is the name that has been given. It has been given, says the Lord. The name has been given by God to us, that every knee must bow. Every knee must bow. So the name has been given. It has been bestowed upon him for our benefit. And if we are going to experience the benefits, says the Lord, if you're going to experience the benefits, you're going to have to declare the name of Jesus in every situation that you face. In every situation, you don't declare what is. You declare his name is above whatever you see. His name and his authority rules and reigns in my house. Say it with me right now. Say, I declare the name of Jesus over my household, over my body, over my finances, over my career, over my children, over the generations to come. I declare the lordship of Jesus in my life, and I speak to every opposition that has come against me. I speak to every fiery dart of the wicked one, and I command you to bow your knee to the name of Jesus. I command you to bow, because he is way above and he has all authority, and that name has been given to me, and that name has been given to you. Just lift your hands and thank the Lord right where you are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your name is above all. Hallelujah. Come on, family. Come on. These things that we read in the Word, it's not theory. It's reality. It's victory that's contained within the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. If only I could sing. Praise God. Well, welcome to church today. So glad for those of you who are here. Just turning wave to someone, say, I'm glad to see you. Welcome to those that are watching online. We're so glad you're a part of this service. Hallelujah. Good job to the worship team. Don't they do an awesome job? Beautiful. Wonderful. Wonderful. Isn't it good to be in the house of God this morning? I'm so thankful. And those of you that are watching, you can make right where you are. You can experience everything. A church right in your living room. Get your Bible. Just be a part of the service. Get a notepad and a pen. Take down some scriptures. We were talking about it yesterday. Pastor Steve kind of goes through those scriptures so fast. You don't always get a chance to turn to them in your Bible, but you could just jot them down and go back to them and make it a part of a study through the week. So just settle down and enjoy yourself with us today. I want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. We've had visitors every week, actually, and we've had new people watch online every week, which is wonderful. But if you are here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand? God bless you. Welcome. Come on, let's make her feel welcome. Anyone else? Thank you. And Asha has given you a gift bag, and we ask you to just fill out a card that says guest, and we pass an offering bucket by in a few minutes. Just drop it in. gives the pastor an opportunity to call you. So thank you for doing that. And right now, I want to remind you of the four purposes of our church. First of all, we want you to know God in everything we do, whether it's in our worship, whether it's in our small groups, whether it's in our kids' church or here in church. We want to help you to know God, to find freedom, to discover your purpose, and to make a difference with your life. Amen. And this is a time in the service where we're going to have the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. And I want to take this time, just 5 minutes, to encourage you in the area of your finances. You know, this COVID-19, there have been a lot of effects. You know, you just have to go to the grocery store, go out on the street, and it's quiet when it should have been busy, or the parks that are closed. There's a lot of effects from COVID-19, and it's changed some of our daily life, but it's left a lot of people wondering, what does the future hold, especially concerning the economy? And I want to just encourage you by saying this to you. Your financial prosperity is safe. You can expect to prosper even in uncertain times. And I'm not saying that to you just as comforting words. I'm speaking to you from the Word of God. That's what I want to encourage you with. Because as a tither, our money isn't subject to any outside source. It's not subject to the government. It's not subject to the economy. And it's not subject to a job, right? Nothing has a right to dictate to you as a child of God whether your needs are met or not, right? And I say that because the Bible says, my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Not God will supply as long as the economy is good. God will supply as long as your boss likes you, or as long as you don't have a pandemic in the earth. No, it says, my God will meet all your needs according to His riches. That's why I have confidence in saying this to you. And you know, in a time like this, it's easy to switch over to fear and to worry. And you know, fear is a terrible financial advisor. It's a bad financial advisor. In fact, it will cause you to do the opposite of what you should be doing. Fear will cause you to do the opposite. What do I mean by that? It'll make you lie awake at night worrying, right? It'll make people want to stop tithing, to hold on, to not give. Fear will do that to you. It'll make you do the opposite of what is good for you financially, right? And so we want to be in faith. Pastor Steve preached about fear versus faith. You can't be in both at the same time. We want to be in faith because it keeps the door open to supernatural provision. True? And so we want to let God and God's word be our financial advisor, not fear, right? And so what does God say about our finances? Because that is what is always dependable. It's dependable in good times and in bad times, in the heat and in the cold, in the winter and in the summer, right? It's always dependable no matter what is happening around us. And so what does God say about our finances? And I'm going to read you a few scriptures, but you can prepare yourself. There are envelopes at the seats right where you are. There's various ways to give. You that are watching online, you can go ahead and just click. It's so easy. I was going through it with Pastor Steve last night, showing him how easy it is and how we do it, how I do it on our behalf. But the Bible says that God will give you your daily bread. That means provision. It says He will rebuke the devourer on your behalf. That means things come against you, God's fighting for you, right? It says He will provide all your needs. This is what the financial advice from the Word of God. He says the righteous will never need to beg for bread. That's in Psalms. And He said all things are added to you when you seek Him first. Those are promises in the Word of God. So right now, I just want to say, and Pastor Steve did some of it when we were going through prayer time, but if you faced a layoff, those who are watching that are here and those that are watching, if you faced a layoff, you faced a decrease in your income, we want to stand in agreement right, with you right now. We are believing, God, for new job opportunities, for increase, for supernatural financial breakthrough in the name of Jesus. We're agreeing right now. We're going to go God's way. We're going to see God's provision. And if you're an obedient believer, if you're a faithful tither, we believe you receive double return for what the devil steals. This is what the Bible promises, just like Job did. Everybody talks about what happened to Job. God gave him back double for what the devil did in his life. So I just want to encourage you, keep honoring God with your tithe. Keep being faithful. Keep staying connected to your supernatural blessing. That's our lifeline right now. We don't want to be disconnected from that. We need the windows of heaven open above us. And Malachi says the windows of heaven are open above those who are faithful to tithe, no matter what's going on around us. But you know, I know you're coming up here. There's some declarations I want to make over finances. We're going to speak faith. Just skip to that for me, please, Miguel. Natalie. I'm so happy to see Natalie. Haven't seen her in a few weeks. You know, the word of, when you have faith, it's got to be in two places. It's got to be in your heart, and it's got to be in your mouth.
That's right.
And so I want us to speak words of faith over our finances today as we give. Amen. Say, my God
supplies all my need
according to his riches in glory. Say, it is the will of God
my provider
that I prosper. Say, wealth and riches
are in my house.
Say, I refuse to worry
about my rent,
my mortgage payment, my car payment,
my food or my bills,
because I know that God takes care of the birds, and I am more important
to Him
than they are.
Say,
no matter what happens in this world,
my finances are blessed.
No matter what the economy does.
My finances are blessed. No matter what happens at my workplace, my finances are blessed.
Say, as a tither,
I know
that God rebukes the devourer.
From stealing from me.
Say, I am led by the Spirit.
In my finances.
Say, I refuse to take Satan's bait.
Fear about any area of my finances.
I stand in faith.
I keep the door closed to the devil's plans.
I walk in abundance.
Prosperity.
And supernatural overflow.
I have the mind of Christ.
And money-making ideas are coming to me.
I reach beyond.
What I think is possible.
And I allow God.
Room. To do exceedingly abundantly.
Above what I could ever imagine in my finances.
Come on, family, this is faith.
Amen.
You don't need to be saying, I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. You need to be saying because the Lord is my shepherd.
I do not want for anything.
So I refuse to be shaken by any bad news or negative world events.
What the enemy meant for harm.
In my finances. God will turn it around for my good. Okay, two more. Say, God will make a way.
Where there seems to be no way.
Say, God is my deliverer.
He's my protector.
He's my fortress.
And he's my strong tower.
Thank God for that right now.
Amen.
He's our provider.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord. I hope that encourages you.
Yes.
And as you go ahead and give right now, we want to really thank you for those who've been so faithful. And those of our members that are not in church and we haven't seen you for a couple of months, I'm glad you're staying safe. Thank you so much for being faithful to tithe. It's a blessing. Let me tell you, it's a blessing where people are faithful no matter what the season we're in. Amen?
Amen. We appreciate everyone who's given online, being so faithful. You know, just to mention that they are, we've made it as easy as possible to give, and you can give on our website at ascendchurch.us. Very easy to Once you go on the website, it says giving. It's got a little tab, and you just follow. It's real easy. You can also give by text. You can text give, and you text the amount to 833-768-6722. So thank you for everyone who's given. You know, some people have asked me, how's the church doing? I just want to let you know the church is doing great. Praise the Lord. The church is doing good. Thank God. And thank you. And in actual fact, we've had new people. Just about every Sunday, we've had new people. And every week I have people come to me and say, Pastor Steve, thank you for keeping the church open. We had a lady who gave online this week. Andrea, are you here, Andrea? It's good to see you, Andrea. And Andrea gave online, and I didn't recognize her name, and I know everybody in the church. I know everything about you. I've done background checks on every one of you. I'm joking. But Andrea gave online, and praise God, she gave her telephone number at the same time so I could contact her, and I texted her and said, thank you so much for giving. And she said, Pastor Steve, thank you for keeping your church open. I heard about your church from a friend. I've been watching the services online, and I'll be there this Sunday. So it's so great to have you with us, Andrea. And I just want to let you all know that members of Ascend Church, that we miss you. But we got new people coming. When you come back, there's some new members have joined the family, and we're glad about that. And you know, you might have heard people say this, like, the church isn't a building. The church isn't a building. How many of you know the church is not a building? That's true. What is the church? The church is a body. The church is the body of Christ. And the Bible says, do not neglect to the assembling of the body of Christ. The church isn't a building. The building is just a place where the body meets, where we gather, where we worship, where we receive God's word, and where we bring our friends and family. Isn't that right? And so we're looking forward to seeing you all back here real soon. You know, I was thinking about it because some people have come back today, some people we haven't seen, and like Natalie, and we're glad to see you, and a number of other people. And I was thinking about this and what to say to you, and this is what came to me. Jesus said there are many voices in the world. There are many voices, but we must follow the voice of the Good Shepherd. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. I would encourage you to follow the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Holy Spirit within you. Follow him. There's a lot of voices. People will tell you we should stay home. People will tell you we should go back. Follow that voice on the inside, what the Lord is leading you to do. Because he'll never lead you in the wrong direction. Amen. Let me see if there's anything else I wanted to mention before we get into God's word today. I do want to say, if you're watching us, one way that you can share the gospel at this time is simply by, if you're watching on Facebook, share this live stream onto your Facebook page so that your friends and family can watch. Now, I know that's a bold move. You've got to have some boldness to be able to share what you believe on your social media. Because some people are going to love it, and not everybody is. That's okay. I want to encourage you to share it. Comment. If you're watching, comment. Let us know where you're watching from. And like this. And because I believe the more people that will share this live stream, the more people that watch it, the more people that we can impact for the kingdom of God. Amen? I want to say thank you to the worship team. They did such a great job, like always, but they are... Give them a big hand. They came and rehearsed on Friday. They did a rehearsal on Friday afternoon, and then they came early this morning at 8 a.m. like they usually do, and they just nailed it today. And so I like that Friday rehearsal. Sounds good. So anyway, great job. Thank you so much to the worship team. Are you ready for God's word today? I said, are you ready for God's word today? Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that your word is what gives us life. Your word is what gives us wisdom. Your word is what gives us faith. Your word is what gives us hope. Thank you, Father, today for anointing your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you agree, say amen. Today I want to speak to you about keep calm and hold your peace. Now, You might have seen that poster. You might have heard about it. There's a poster that's Keep Calm and Carry On. Have you ever seen that? Do you know where that comes from? That was a motivational poster that was produced by the British government in 1939 in preparation for World War II. The poster was designed to raise the morale of the British people because they were being threatened with widely predicted mass air attacks on their major cities. And so they put up these posters all over. Calm, what was it? Keep calm and carry on. You ever heard of the British saying, keep a stiff upper lip? Stiff upper lip. So anyway, do you know that there's a biblical principle in that? Do you know that keep calm and hold your peace, or keep calm and carry on? There's a biblical truth, because we all have opportunities to get upset, to live worried, to be stressed out. The storms of life come to everybody. Doesn't matter who you are, the storms of life come to everybody. Isn't that right? And right now, the whole world is experiencing the coronavirus pandemic. And people are panicked and people are in fear. But Jesus told us in John 16, verse 33, he said, I have told you these things so that you may have peace in me. In the world, you will have much trouble. But take hope, I have power over the world. He said, I've told you all these things. Everything I've said is that you may have peace in me. He said, in the world, you're going to have trouble. But take hope, I've overcome the world. Jesus said we would have trouble. We would face trouble in the world. But we can have peace in him. You're going to have some trouble. You can't pray away every difficulty. And often we use our faith to try and control our circumstance. But I've found that it's better to use my faith to control myself in the midst of my circumstances. You see, I know if I can just stay calm and if I can keep my peace in the storms of life, that's what allows God to move on my behalf and to change things. God never said we wouldn't have difficulties, but he said we could have peace in the midst of those difficulties. That's the great thing about being a believer. In fact, if you read that scripture from the Passion Bible, it says it like this. Everything I've taught you is so that the peace which is in me will be in you. Think about that. Jesus said, everything I've taught you is so that the peace that's in me will be in you and will give you great confidence as you rest in me. That is powerful. Let me tell you, you will have great confidence when you rest in him and when you keep your peace. It says, in this unbelieving world, you will experience trouble and sorrows, but you must be courageous, for I have conquered the world. Now the Bible, Jesus says, if you let my peace be in you, and if you hold your peace, and if you rest in me, then you will have great confidence. Let me tell you, when you face adversity, one of the most powerful things that you can do is simply to keep calm, hold your peace, and rest in the Lord. Because when you're at peace, when you're at rest, really you're proving to God that you really do trust him. By your actions, you're saying to God, Lord, I know you're still on the throne. I know that you are bigger than this problem. Amen. When the Israelites, the children of Israel, came out of slavery in Egypt and they were headed to the promised land, they were so happy. They were finally free after hundreds of years of slavery. But then, you all know the story, Pharaoh changed his mind. He came chasing after them with his army. And the Israelites came to a dead end at the Red Sea. They had the Red Sea in front of them and they had the Egyptian army behind them. They had nowhere to go. It looked impossible. Instead of staying in faith, knowing God had delivered them before and he would do it again, they started to get upset. They started to panic. They started to complain. Moses, why did you bring us out here? Did you bring us to die in the wilderness? It was better to serve the Egyptians. It was better in slavery than to die in the wilderness. They started complaining. See, they were in the storm, but they made the mistake of letting the storm get in them. And Moses knew he had to get them out of that negative mentality or they were going to be defeated. And I want to tell you what, listen to what Moses told them in Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. He said, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will see again no more forever. He said, the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace and remain at rest. The Lord's going to fight this battle. You just hold your peace and remain at rest. And in fact, another translation says, you will not have to do anything but stay calm. The Lord will do the fighting for you. All you got to do is stay calm. All you got to do is hold your peace. All you got to do is stay in rest, and God will do the fighting for you. Let me tell you, that is a powerful principle, family. God will fight your battles if you will stay calm, if you will remain at rest, and if you will hold your peace. Amen? Now, I've been through a few hurricanes. Anyone been through a hurricane? I've been through like 4 hurricanes. All of them. Well, 3 of them in Florida and 1 of them at Tom and Dana's house in the Bahamas. I was there when it hit. We were right in the eye. Fun times. Now, I've been through 4 hurricanes. And how many of you know a hurricane? I mean, it can be huge. It can be 90 miles wide. The winds can be 120 miles an hour, knocking down telephone poles and trees and even blowing the roof off of houses. I mean, all kinds of damage. But do you know that right in the center of the storm is what is called the eye of the storm? And in the eye of the storm, it's as peaceful and calm as can be. Like when we were at your house in Bahamas those years ago when the hurricane came through, and boy, it was bad. It was like a Cat 4, and the airport, they turned the airplanes over, and people's houses, all their sand was washed away, and all kinds of damage. And then, so the storm's coming, and we out there. Your window blew right out, and this blew over. And the next thing, it's calm, absolutely calm, because we're in the eye. We're waiting for it to pass over, right? Well, let me tell you, in the eye of the storm, you can have the winds, you can have the rain, you can have the damage all around you. If you went out just a few miles, it could be dangerous. But if you stay in the eye, everything will be okay. Because it's calm in the eye of the storm. Do you know it's the same principle in life? You might have a storm raging in your health or in your finances or in your family, and you could easily be torn apart. But in the center of that storm, there is a place that you can enter where you can find rest, where you can have peace. God may not deliver us from every storm, but if we can learn to stay in the eye, we can have peace right in the middle of the storm. Some of you are facing some major challenges right now, and you're constantly wrestling with that problem. You're so worried about it. You're not sleeping good at night. You're trying to fix this person and trying to pay somebody back who did you wrong. Or you're trying to pray long enough to show God you mean business. You're all wrought up and stressed out. Listen, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3 says this, "For we who have believed do enter into that rest." We who have believed do enter into that rest. In fact, the New Living Translation says, "For only we who believe can enter his rest." Do you know the only way you can enter into the rest of God and the peace of God is through faith? You've got to believe. Another translation says, the New Life Version, it says, "We who have put our trust in God go into his rest." So you see, that's why this is so powerful, because when you're in rest, when you're at peace, you are demonstrating to God that you trust him. Are you getting this today? The Passion Bible says it like this: "For those of us who believe, faith activates the promise and we experience the realm of confident rest." I like that. Let me tell you, for those of us who believe, it is your faith that activates the promises of God, and that's when you enter into this place of confident rest. Say amen, somebody. You know, faith and rest go together. When you're trusting God in faith, you will be at rest. You will have peace. You will be calm. If you want God to take care of that problem, you've got to come back to that place of peace. Because that's what shows God that you really believe in. Amen. The Israelites didn't enter into the promised land because they would not enter into the rest of God. The Bible says their unbelief stopped them from entering into rest, which stopped them from entering into the promised land. Hebrews 3, verse 16. The same people who were delivered from bondage and brought out of Egypt by Moses were the ones who heard and still rebelled. It says they grieved God for 40 years by sinning in their unbelief until they dropped dead in the desert. So God swore an oath that they would never enter into his calming place of rest because they disobeyed him. It is clear that they could not enter into their inheritance because they wrapped their hearts in unbelief. I don't know about you, but I don't want to wrap my heart in unbelief. I want to wrap my heart in faith. Amen? I don't want to be disobedient. I want to enter into that place of rest where you say, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm at peace because I know you're taking care of me. I know you're my healer. I know you're my protector. You enter into a place of peace and rest. Anyone know what I'm talking about today? They didn't enter the promised land because they wouldn't enter into his calming place of rest. And I want you to know that rest is not inactive. Rest is actually active. There's something that you do to enter into rest. In Hebrews 4 verse 11, it says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall or according to the same example of disobedience. It says we got to be diligent to enter into that place of rest. The New International Version says, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. In other words, it takes some effort and some diligence and some determination that you choose that you're going to enter into that place of rest and that place of peace. It's something that you have to make a decision about. The Message Bible says it like this, so let's keep at it and eventually arrive at that place of rest. The Passion Bible says, so then we must give our all and be eager to experience this faith rest. I like that. Faith rest life so that no one falls short by following the same pattern of doubt and unbelief. The Bible says we must give all our effort, diligence to enter into this faith rest life. Now, faith rest is not that you're not doing anything. You trust in God and you are diligent to keep your heart in that place of rest. Because when you're at rest and when you're at peace and when you're calm, you are demonstrating that you really trust God, and that's what allows him to fight your battles for you. Amen, somebody. That's good preaching, Pastor Steve. Preach some more, Pastor Steve. It takes effort to enter into that place of rest. And one of the signs that you truly in faith is that you are at rest. You are at peace. You are calm. The word rest means ease, relaxation, freedom from strain, a support on which things can be put. No worry. It means no stress, no negativity, no complaining, no anxiety, no fear. Now, I didn't just make that up. I looked it up in the dictionary. And that's where I got that definition from. You cannot worry and be in rest at the same time. You cannot worry and be in peace at the same time. In Isaiah 32, verse 18, the Bible says, my people will live free from worry in secure, quiet homes of peace. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 32, it says, I want all of you to be free from worry. God says, I want you all to be free from worry. The Living Bible says, in all you do, I want you to be free from worry. I want you all to be free from worry all the time, no matter what you're doing, no matter what's going on. Psalm 62, verse 2 says, he alone is my safe place. His wraparound presence always protects me, for he is my champion defender. There's no risk of failure with God, so why would I let worry paralyze me even when troubles multiply around me? Do you know that worry will paralyze you? You know that worry will stop your faith? Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 7, what about the seemingly minor issues of your life? Do they matter to God? Of course they do. So you never need to worry, for you are more valuable to God than anything else in this world. Say, I am the most valuable to God of anything in the world. I'm the most valuable. In verse 22, Jesus taught his disciples, saying, listen to me, never let anxiety enter your heart. Never worry about any of your needs, such as food or clothing. Never worry about any of your needs. Never let anxiety enter your heart. Verse 26, if worrying adds nothing but actually subtracts from your life, why would you worry about God's care of you? Verse 30, only people who don't know God are always worrying about such things, for your Father knows what you need. Do you know that as believers in Jesus, we should never worry about anything? Only people who don't know God worry. Why would I worry? The creator of the universe is with me, in me, and he's for me. He's taking care of me. His wraparound presence is with me. Why would I worry about anything? In Mark 5, verse 36, Jesus heard what they said, and he said to Jairus, don't worry, just have faith. You see, you got to choose faith or worry, but you can do both. Worry and faith are opposites. Worry will choke your faith. In Luke 8, verse 14, Jesus said the seed, he was preaching about the sower sowing the seed, and he said the seed fell among the thorns. It represents those who listen, they believe God's words, but whose faith afterwards is choked out by worry. Do you know you can hear the word of God, you can believe the word of God, you can receive the word of God, and your faith can be choked out if you allow worry to dominate your mind? Abraham didn't worry because his faith was strong. The Bible says in Romans 4:19, because his faith was strong, he didn't worry. Because Abraham's faith was strong, he didn't worry. When your faith is strong, you don't worry. Now, if you say, Pastor Steve, are you telling me if I worry, my faith's not strong? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm telling you. What do I do about it? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by. The more you hear the word of God, the more your faith will get stronger, and the less you'll worry. It says because his faith was strong, Abraham didn't worry about the fact that he was too old to be a father at the age of 100, and he didn't worry about the fact that his wife Sarah at 90 was much too old to have a baby. He didn't worry about it. He trusted God. Philippians 4 verse 6 says this, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. With thankful hearts, offer your prayers and requests unto God. And then, because you belong to Christ Jesus, God will bless you with peace that no one can completely understand. And this peace will control the way you think and the way you act. Let me tell you, you can be in the midst of a storm and have such peace that people can't understand it. How can you be so relaxed? How can you be so calm? Why are you not worrying? Why haven't you got your mask on? Why are you standing so close to me? Why are you so worried? People don't understand when you got this kind of peace. Because let me tell you, the peace of God will control the way you think and control the way you act. Jesus said in Luke 21, verse 14, Jesus said, make up your mind not to worry. Do you know that it's a choice? Do you know you can choose to believe God or you can choose to worry? It is your choice. Don't worry about getting coronavirus. Don't worry about your finances. Don't worry about your bills. Here's the key. You may be in the storm, but don't let the storm get inside you. Don't give away your peace. Maybe you've got a situation in your health or your family or in your finances. You could easily worry about it night and day. Listen, do the best you can, everything you know to do, and then trust God to do the rest. You can't stop every storm, but you can stop it from getting on the inside of you. I think about Daniel. Daniel was taken captive, prisoner, to a place called Babylon. But the Bible says that Daniel had an excellent spirit. Daniel had an excellent spirit, and he distinguished himself, and he was made one of three governors in the land, and the king was actually planning on putting him in charge over all of his entire empire. So the other governors conspired together because they were jealous of Daniel, and they were looking for something they could use against him, but they couldn't find anything against him. So they decided the only chance they could find some misconduct on him was to use his religion. And they convinced the king to make a new law that no one, for 30 days, no one could pray to any other god other than the king. For 30 days, you could only pray to the king, no other god. They knew that Daniel prayed 3 times a day. And when Daniel heard about the new law, what did he do? Well, Romans Romans 13, verse 2 says, submit to the governing authorities. For every authority is given by God, and he resists the authority, resists the ordinance of God. So Daniel went ahead and obeyed the law, and he didn't pray for 30 days. Is that true? That ain't true. It's amazing how you just believe what I'm telling you. That is not true. No, what did he do when he heard about the new law? Daniel 6, verse 10, when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home. He knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with his windows wide open toward Jerusalem, and he prayed 3 times a day just like he always did, giving thanks to God. He never changed a thing. Last time I heard, Jesus said, go out into all the world and preach the gospel. And he never changed his mind. Daniel's conspirators, they saw Daniel praying. And they ran and they told the king. And the king was mad at himself because he signed the law, because he really favored Daniel. And he tried to think of a way he could save Daniel. But he couldn't reverse his decision. And the Bible says Daniel was thrown into a lion's den. Because he refused to obey the king's law. Do you know in Acts 4:36, the apostles were, the religious leaders of the day told the apostles, you cannot preach anymore in the name of Jesus. We forbid it. And they said, should we obey you or should we obey God? Should we obey you or should we obey God? Let me explain Romans 13, verse 2. Romans 13, verse 2 says we should submit and obey the governing authorities that we can have peace in our land. And that's true. You should obey the governing authorities unless what the governing authorities are telling you is violating the word of God. Then you don't obey the governing authorities. You obey the word of God. That's the truth about it. You can clap. Well, you don't have to clap if you don't want to, but that is the truth. It's just like the Bible says, wives, submit to your husband. But if your husband says, listen, honey, we're running a little low on the finances. I want you to take my Colt 45 from my study and go hold up the bank. We need some money. Now, you've got to submit to me. The Bible says submit to me. How many of you know your wife? You do not have to submit to your husband and go rob the bank because he said so, because there is a higher authority, and it's the word of God, and it says thou shalt not steal. So you say, honey, I love you, and I'll submit to you. If you want a pecan pie tonight for dessert, I'll do it. But I ain't robbing a bank because I got to submit to the authority of God's word. Do you get what I'm telling you? You submit to the authority of the land. When we moved in this building, they told us all the things we had to do, all these regulations. We followed every one of them. But when it comes, you tell me I can't have church, I ain't going to obey you then, honey, because the Bible says I shall not neglect the assembling of the saints, and I must go into all the world and preach the gospel, and I must lay hands on the sick. How am I going to do that if I'm stuck in my house all day? How am I going to lay hands on you? How am I going to go into all the world? How am I going to obey the word of God? Amen? So Daniel, even though it was the law of the land, you cannot pray to any other god. He just carried on praying like he normally did. He didn't panic. He didn't worry. He didn't stay up all night praying, begging God, please help me. Please protect me. He just stayed calm. He just stayed in peace. He walked right into that lion's den. He laid down and he went to sleep right in the middle of a storm. You see, Daniel's attitude was, Lord, I know you're still on the throne. And if I die tonight, I'll just come to heaven and be with you. But it was not my time to go. I know all the forces of darkness can't take me, so I'm just going to relax. I'm going to keep my peace. I'm going to sleep. I'm going to enjoy my life. He was in the storm, but he didn't let the storm get in him. He remained calm. He remained at peace, because that's what lets God work in your life. See, when we're worried, when we're living all stressed out, fearful, fighting against everything, we tie the hands of Almighty God. When you stay in peace, God will not only fight your battles, but he'll pay you back for the troubles that the enemy brought in your life. The Bible says in Isaiah 61, verse 7, because you got a double dose of trouble and more than your share of contempt, your inheritance in the land will be doubled. Because you had a double dose of trouble, you're going to get a double dose of God's goodness and favor. And you know the story with Daniel. Not only did God protect Daniel in the lion's den, but God, because the Bible says God sent an angel and shut the lion's mouths. And the king was so happy that God had delivered Daniel that he promoted Daniel. And this is what the king said. In Daniel 6, verse 26, he said, I decree that everyone shall tremble and fear before the God of Daniel in every part of my kingdom. For he, his God, is the living, unchanging God, whose kingdom shall never be destroyed and whose power shall never end. He said, he delivers his people, preserving them from harm. He does great miracles in heaven and earth, and it is he who delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus, the Persian. God blessed and promoted. Daniel was promoted. Amen. I think about the Apostle Peter. King Herod was going after church leaders, and he already had executed the Apostle James. That's John's brother, the Apostle John's brother. And Peter was arrested, and Herod intended to execute Peter the next day, and he was under guard by 16 guards. The church was praying for Peter, and the night before Peter was going to be executed, the Bible says in Acts 12, verse 6, the night before Herod planned to bring him to trial, he made sure that Peter was securely bound with two chains. Peter was sound asleep. Now that, to me, is amazing. Would you be sound asleep knowing you're going to be executed the next day? I don't know if I'd sleep that good that night. He was sound asleep, not just asleep, sound asleep. Between two soldiers with additional guards stationed outside his cell door. And it says, when all at once an angel of the Lord appeared, filling the prison cell with a brilliant light, the angel struck Peter on the side to awaken him. He said, hurry up, let's go. And instantly his chains fell off of his wrist. And the Bible says the angel said, get dressed, put on your sandals, bring your cloak, and follow me. The angel had to wake Peter up because he's in such a deep sleep. The next day, he's about to be executed. You talk about being at rest. You talk about being at peace. Let me tell you, it's one thing to come through a trial when everyone's praying for you, cheering you on. That's great. We need people to encourage us. But I think it's even a greater testimony when you come through a trial and nobody even knew that you were going through it because you're so consistent, you're so stable, you're so calm, you got so much peace. Nobody could tell anything was wrong. And I believe, family, no matter what may come our way in this life, our attitude should be, Lord, I know that you're in control. I know that you are with me. I know you are for me. I know everything is going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. You need to let that phrase sink down in your spirit. Everything is going to be all right. Say it with me. Everything is going to be all right. Tell your neighbor, everything is going to be all right. Someone says, I heard they're laying people off at your company. Your attitude should be, yeah, I know, but Jehovah Jireh, he's still on the throne, and everything is going to be all right. Amen. Amen. That's what happened for Kathy Battle, a member of our church. She was laid off at her job after 23 years of working at the company. Within 2 weeks, she had another job, better benefits, better job than she had before. Someone says, I heard you got a bad report from the doctor. Your attitude should be, yes, but I got another report, and it says God is restoring health back to me, and everything is going to be all right. Let me tell you, if you'll meditate on that simple phrase, no matter how big the challenge, it will help you to stay calm. Everything is going to be all right. Some of you have been wrestling with that situation month after month, and you've been anxious, and you've been worried, but let me tell you, God is saying to you in Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. Be still, be calm. No, I am God. The contemporary Bible says, our God says, calm down and learn that I'm God. Calm down and learn that I'm God. The Passion Bible says, surrender your anxiety, be silent and stop your striving, and you will see that I am God. If you want to see God demonstrate his great power in your life, then you know what you got to do? You got to be still. You got to be calm. You got to be at peace, and you got to rest, and you got to trust God is fighting your battle, and he's taking care of you. That's the exact same thing God told the children of Israel. Isn't that the Israelites? He told them, calm down. Get your peace back. It may look dark and gloomy, but right above those clouds, let me tell you, the sun is still shining. The Bible says in Isaiah 49, verse 2, he has kept me safely hidden in the palm of his hand. He's kept me safely hidden in the palm of his hand. You've got to turn that over to him. Stop worrying about it. Everything is going to be all right in the name of Jesus. God sometimes doesn't deliver us from the storm. He takes us through the storm, but he protects us in that storm. You see, there's two kinds of faith. There's a delivering faith, and there's a sustaining faith. And the delivering kind of faith is when God instantly turns it around and God instantly delivers us. And we all love that kind of delivering faith. God just turns it around in a moment. But let me tell you, most of the time, God gives us a sustaining faith. That's when we have grace to walk through that difficulty. David said in Psalm 23:4, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, Lord. You, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You see, if you don't understand this principle, you'll try to pray away every challenge. You'll end up fighting against everything you don't like. You'll end up frustrated. It's one of the reasons I love Joseph in the Bible, because even though so many things happened to him that were not fair, that were not his fault, he didn't fight it. He didn't get upset. He didn't get bitter. He kept being his best. He kept staying in peace. And God brought him out on top. That's sustaining faith. What about the three Hebrew teenagers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were commanded by King Nebuchadnezzar to bow down to the king's idol, or they would be thrown into a burning fiery furnace. You know what they said in Daniel 3, verse 16? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not worried about what will happen to us. We're not worried what will happen to us. If we are thrown into the burning, flaming furnace, our God is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us out of your hand, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, please understand, sir, even then we will never, under any circumstances, serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have erected." And you know what? The Bible, they had the attitude, "We're not worried about it. We got inside information. We know everything's going to be all right." They didn't fight against it. They weren't upset. They weren't fearful. They weren't stressed out. They weren't complaining. They were at peace, and they stayed calm. Amen. They knew nothing could happen without God's permission. And what happened? You all know the story. King Nebuchadnezzar was furious, and he commanded them to heat the furnace 7 times hotter than normal. He had his strongest men bind up Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, bind them up, and his guards threw them in the furnace. And you know what happened? The fourth man showed up. I spoke about this a few months ago, and please forgive me because I'm going to preach it again. In Daniel 3:24, "Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace was exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." In other words, the guards who threw them in, they were consumed by the fire. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. And then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste, and he spoke to his counselors. He said, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" And they answered, "True, O king." He said to them, "Look, I see four men, and they're walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth man is like the Son of God." What's going on? Didn't we throw three men in the fire? Weren't they bound up in chains? How come there's four men in the fire, and they're walking around, and they're not hurt? Who is that fourth man? You know who that fourth man is, don't you? Who is that fourth man in Genesis? He is the seed of woman in Exodus. He is the Passover lamb in Leviticus. He is the high priest in Numbers. He is the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he's the prophet like Moses. In Joshua, he's the captain of the army of the host of the army of the Lord. In Judges, he is our judge and lawgiver. In Ruth, he is our kinsman. He is our redeemer. In Samuel, he is the prophet of the Lord. Who is that fourth man in the burning fiery furnace? In Kings, he's the mighty king. In Chronicles, he's the Shekinah glory of God filling the temple. In Israel, he's the faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of the broken walls of life. In Esther, he's the queenly figure making intercession for the people she loves. In Job, he's our ever-living redeemer. In Psalms, he is our shepherd who restores my soul and leads me beside the still waters. In Proverbs, he's eternal wisdom. In Ecclesiastes, he's eternal life. In the Song of Solomon, he's our lover and our bridegroom, the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon, the fairest of 10,000. 5,000. Who is that fourth man in the burning fiery furnace? In Isaiah, he's the Prince of Peace. He's the Lamb wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. In Jeremiah, he's the righteous branch. In Lamentations, he's the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he's the wonderful four-faced man. In Daniel, he's the fourth man in the burning fiery furnaces of life. In Hosea, he's the faithful husband. In Joel, he's the baptizer with the Holy Ghost. In Amos, he's our burden bearer. In Obadiah, he's the mighty Savior. In Jonah, he's the forgiving God of another chance. In Micah, he's the messenger with beautiful feet. In Nahum, he's the avenger of God's elect. In Habakkuk, he's the evangelist crying out for revival. In Zephaniah, he's the restorer of God's lost heritage. In Haggai, he's the cleansing fountain open in the house of David. In Zechariah, he's the pierced son. And in Malachi, he's the son of righteousness with healing in his wings. Who is that fourth man in the burning fiery furnace? Let me tell you who he was. In Matthew, he's the Messiah. In Mark, he's the wonder worker. In Luke, he's the son of man. In John, he's the son of God, the word made flesh. In Acts, he's the giver of the Holy Ghost. In Romans, he's the justifier. In Corinthians, he is the sanctifier. In Galatians, he's the redeemer from the curse of the law. In Ephesians, he's the Christ with unsearchable riches. In Philippians, he's the God who supplies all my needs. In Colossians, he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Thessalonians, he's our soon coming King. In Timothy, he's the mediator between God and man. In Titus, he's the faithful pastor. In Philemon, he's the friend who sticks closer than a brother. In Hebrews, he's the blood of the everlasting covenant. In James, he's our great physician. In Peter, he's the chief shepherd. In 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, he is everlasting love. In Jude, he's the Lord coming with 10,000 angels. And in Revelation, he's the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. That's who was in. Who? That's the fourth man in that burning fiery furnace. Can you say amen, somebody? Who was that fourth man in the burning fiery furnace? Let me tell you who he was. He's the father to the orphan. He's the husband to the widow. He's the bright and the morning star. He is the lily of the valley. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the honey in the rock. He's the brightness of God's glory. He's the express image of the person of God. He is the King of glory. Can you say amen? He's the pearl of great price. He's the rock in a weary land. He's the cup that runs over. He's the Prince of Peace. He is the rod that comforts. He is the government of life. He is wonderful. He's the miracle worker. He's the one who raises the dead. He heals the sick. He makes the blind see. He makes the lame to walk. He's the one who walks on the water. He's the one who calms the sea. He's the one who feeds the multitudes. Amen. He's Jesus of Nazareth. He's the Son of the living God. That's who that fourth man in the burning fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It was Jesus who showed up and delivered them. Amen. I don't know about you, man. I preached myself happy. In Daniel, in verse 26, it says, Nebuchadnezzar, he came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace, and he shouted out, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God. Well, he changed his tune, didn't he? Servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they stepped out of the fire. They stepped out of the fire. And the high officers, the officials, the governors, the advisors, they crowded around them. And they saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their head was singed. And their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell like smoke, the Bible says. Nebuchadnezzar said, praise the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They defied the king's command. And they were willing to die rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. Here you got King Nebuchadnezzar. He's preaching the gospel, man. Therefore, I make this decree that if any people, whatever their race or nation or language, if they speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he said, they will be torn limb from limb and their houses will be turned into heaps of rubble because there is no God who can rescue like this. The Bible says the king promoted them to higher positions in the province of Babylon. Let me tell you, they didn't just come out of that burning fiery furnace. They came out better than before. Not a hair on their head was singed. Their clothing wasn't damaged. They came out without the smell of smoke. Isn't that right? God didn't deliver them from the fire, but he protected them through the fire. You see, if you're only going to stay in peace if God does it your way, if you're only going to be, you know, happy if God does it your way, then, you know, on your timetable, you're probably going to end up frustrated because sometimes God's ways are not our ways. His timetable may not line up with our timetable. I found that God's way is much better than my way. I'm sure that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego at the time would have maybe preferred not to go in the fiery furnace. What do you think? How thinkest thou? Don't you think they would avoid it? But I tell you right now, when it was all over, they were glad because we're still talking about it today. I can't wait to get up in heaven one day and meet Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, man, I want to talk to you about that time that you were thrown in the burning fiery furnace. What was that like? Let me tell you, it may take a little longer when you let God do things His way. I might have to stretch. I might go through some difficulty. But when it's all said and done, you're going to come out of it promoted. You're going to come out of it increased. You're going to come out of it elevated. You're going to come out of it restored. You're going to come out of it better off than what you were before. I'm declaring our church is coming out of this stronger, bigger, better than what we were ever before in the name of Jesus. Because we added people in the whole midst of this thing. Isaiah 43 verse 2 says, when you go through deep waters, I'll be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you'll not drown. When you walk through the fires of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flame will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Psalm 66 verse 12, we passed through the fire and through the flood, yet in the end, you always bring us out better than we were before, saturated with your goodness. You always bring us out better than we were before, saturated with your goodness. Let me tell you, God's about to turn it around in the name of Jesus. He's about to bring you out better than what you were before. He's about to amaze you with His goodness. When you keep calm, when you hold your peace, when you remain at rest, God will bring you out of it. He will fight your battles. He will protect you. You may be in the fire. Let me tell you, favor is coming. You may be going through deep waters, but if you'll hold your peace and if you will stay calm, favor is headed your way. Victory is headed your way. Breakthrough is headed your way. Provision is headed your way. Healing is headed your way. Victory is headed your way in the name of Jesus. Maybe like Joseph, you're in a situation where you're not being treated right. If you will just stay calm, I can assure you something good is coming. Favor's coming, vindication's coming, breakthrough's coming in the name of Jesus. The Bible says weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. Be still and know that He is God. Some of you in the fire right now. What do I mean? You're in a difficult time right now. You could easily live worried, live fearful, live upset, live stressed out. You need to come back to that place of peace. God has favor in your future. Let me tell you, God's already got the solution. God is not taken by surprise. He's not scratching His head. Oh, what am I going to do now? That really caught me off guard. I wasn't expecting that. God knew what was coming, and He's already prepared the victory. In Isaiah 30, verse 15, it says, this is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. Only in returning to Me and resting in Me will you be saved. In quiet and confidence is your strength. God says the only way you're going to be saved is you've got to return to Me. You've got to rest in Me. You've got to hold your peace. The contemporary English version says it like this. If you turn back to Me and calm down, I'll make you strong. If you hold your peace, I'll make you strong. If you rest in Me, I'll deliver you. Let me tell you, you're going to have a greater strength when you get quiet, when you're at peace, when you're calm. Let me tell you, when you're calm and you're at peace, you think better. You make better decisions. You'll feel better. You'll have more energy. You're not going to just endure life. You're going to enjoy life. Maybe you say, well, Pastor Steve, I'm stressed out because my child is really giving me a hard time. I'm worried. My finances are really low. I'm anxious. My health doesn't look too good. I don't doubt that you're in a storm. I'm simply asking you to come into the eye of the storm. Believe that God has you in the palm of His hand. Believe that God is fighting your battles, that He's going to take what was meant for your harm and He's going to use it for your good. Let me tell you, life is too short to live uptight, frustrated, worried. You've got to shake that off. Come back to the place of peace. One time the disciples were in a boat. They were out on the Sea of Galilee. A great storm arose. The winds were blowing. The waves were crashing into the boat. It got so bad they thought the boat was going to capsize. They thought it was all over. They were worried. They were upset. They were panicking. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 4, verse 38, it says, but Jesus was calmly sleeping in the stern, resting on a cushion. Talk about a great example of rest. So they shook him awake. They said, teacher, don't you even care? We're about to die. Fully awake, he rebuked the storm, shouted to the sea, calm down. And all at once, the wind stopped howling and the waters became perfectly calm. He turned to his disciples. He said to them, why are you so afraid? Haven't you learned to trust me yet? It says they were overwhelmed with fear. And they said to one another, who is this man who has such authority that even the wind and the waves obey him? How many of you know the scripture describes Jesus as the Word made flesh? In John 1:14, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the Word made flesh. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Nothing was made without him, and the Word was made flesh. So you could say the disciples woke up the Word, the living Word. And in your storm, if you want to see God's favor, if you want to see God turn it around, instead of complaining, instead of worrying, you're going to have to wake up the Word. Wake up the Word. You've got to start speaking victory to that storm. Because if you don't talk to that storm, let me tell you, that storm's going to talk to you. That storm's going to tell you you're never going to make it. The enemy's too big. You're never going to get well. You're never going to overcome that. You've got to wake up the Word. Father, you said when the enemy comes against me like a flood, you would raise up a barrier against him. You said you my light and you my salvation. Whom shall I fear? You said if God is for me, what can stand against me? You said you'd be my vindicator. You said I would live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. You said you'd restore health to me. You said you'd meet all my needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let me tell you, if you will start waking up the Word, your storm will calm down. If you will start declaring what God says about you, like we sang earlier, I am who God says that I am. I'm a child of God. I am chosen. God is for me. He is not against me. And if God is for me, then what can stand against me? Let me tell you, if you'll start declaring the Word in your storm, not only will you have more peace, but the Word of God coming out of your mouth is alive and it is active and it is powerful. And when you speak God's word, all of heaven comes to attention. The angels of God go to work and the favor of God is released in your life. In the storm, you can't be passive. You can't just sit back and let negative thoughts play in your mind all day. Oh, it's so bad. You're never going to make it. It's never going to change. No, listen, you got to go on the offensive. Your declaration should be, I may be in the fire, but I know favor's coming. I may be in the famine, but I know increase is headed my way. Amen. I may be in the flood, but breakthroughs are in my future. You can have peace in the midst of the storm. I'm asking you today to stay calm. I'm asking you to keep calm. I'm asking you, hold on to your peace. Don't let anything take your peace from you. Don't give your peace away. It might be bad all around you. You got to find that eye of the storm. Find that place of rest. That's when God says he'll fight your battles. That's when God says he'll make your wrongs right. Stop letting other people upset you. Stop listening to the opinions of people. Shake it off. Let God be your vindicator. He may not deliver you from every storm. He may take you through it. Listen, don't fight it. Embrace where you are. Stay calm. That's how you prove to God, Lord, I trust you. I'm not worried about this. I'm at peace. I'm at rest. I know, Lord, that you're with me. You're taking care of me. You're providing for me. You're protecting me. In those storms, wake up the Word. Declare what God says about your situation. Because if you will be still, if you will stay calm, if you will know that he is God, I can assure you everything is going to be all right. Just like with Joseph, God's going to bring you out. Just like with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you're going to come out there with out the smell of smoke. Just like with Daniel, God is going to protect you. I want you to make this declaration with me. Will you say this with me today? Say this with me today. Say, Lord, I choose to keep calm. Hold my peace. I make up my mind. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to be anxious. I put my trust in you. I rest in you. I rest in your word. I have great confidence in you. Come on, say it like you mean it. I have great confidence in you. I thank you. You fighting my battles. You are protecting me. You are delivering me. I live free from worry and fear. I will not let worry paralyze me. Even when trouble's all around me, you protected Daniel in the lion's den. You protected Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. You protected and delivered Peter in prison. Say, even if I walk through the shadow of death, I will not fear, because I know you're with me. You are my refuge. You are my place of safety. You will rescue me. Come on, say, you will rescue me from every trap. You will protect me from every deadly disease. I may go through rivers of difficulty, fires of oppression, but in the end, you always bring me out better than before, saturated in your goodness, in the name of Jesus. Do you believe that today? Will you give God thanks and praise today? Did you get something out of this today? Did you get something out of this today? Well, me too, man. Preach myself happy. I'm just simply telling you what God's word says. I'm just simply telling you what God's word says. Amen. When you go, you read these stories of what God did. How many of you know that God hasn't changed? He hasn't lost his power. He didn't fall off the throne. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. Everything he did that you read in the Bible, he'll do it for you. All he's looking for is someone who'll believe him, someone who'll trust him. That's us, amen? That's you, amen? That's me, amen? Amen. Father, we thank you. We can have peace, that we can be at rest, that we can be calm, no matter what's going on around us. Because, Lord, we know that you are with us. Even if we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we do not need to fear, because, Lord, you are with us. You protect us. You deliver us. You provide for us. We are the most valuable in all your creation to you. And we just thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus, that you've given us a peace that the world cannot understand. That we can have peace in the midst of great trouble, because our peace comes from you. And it's not dependent on what's going on around us, but what's going on the inside of us. We thank you, Lord, for filling us with your peace. Thank you, Lord, for fighting our battles. Thank you, we do not have to worry about anything, ever, in Jesus' name. Now, I want to pray, as we close today, there's one last thing I have to do, always do, and that is we never, ever close a service without giving people the opportunity to make sure that all is right and all is well between you and God. And I want to ask you a question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure, you know without any doubt, that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church, but I'm not absolutely certain. Let me tell you the good news. The good news is you can be absolutely certain. You can know that you know that you know. You can walk out of here today, and you can know that when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend all of eternity. Heaven is a real place. There's a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shun. And I want to pray for you today. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to make sure, I want to know that all is right and all is well between me and God. Won't you include me in that prayer that you're going to pray? Listen, I'm about to pray. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand. If you're watching this online, I'm talking to you. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer. I want to make sure all is right with me and God. Pray for me. I want to make sure that all my sins are forgiven, and when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. If that's you, I want to pray for you. I want right now, just slip your hand up high. If you want to be included in this prayer, just put your hand up high right now. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer today. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Now listen to this. The scripture says, look up for a moment at the screen, at Romans 10 verse 9. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's how you can know that all is right with you and God. When you believe that Jesus went to the cross, took your sin, took your punishment, died, and after 3 days rose again. If you believe that, and if you confess, Jesus, you the Lord of my life, the Bible says you will be saved. So I want to lead you in a prayer to do that. And if you're watching this online, say this prayer with me. Say this. Everybody, say this. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent Jesus, your son, to come to this earth and die on a cross for me, to take my sin and my punishment. Lord, you said that if I believe, God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I confess that he is my Lord, you said I will be saved. I do this today. I believe, Lord, you're alive. Say this, I ask you, Jesus, come into my life, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Save me, Lord. I surrender my life to you. I declare, Jesus, you are now Lord of my life. That means I'm going to follow you, Lord. That means I'm going to do what your Bible says. Say this. Say, Lord, I thank you because I have received you. I am now saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. God, you are my very own Father. I'm your very own child. Heaven is my home. My name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody said amen and amen. Now, let me say this to you. When I was 16 years old, I prayed that prayer. I wasn't raised going to church. I wasn't raised in a church-going family. Wonderful parents, but we just were heathens. We were kind of upscale heathens, but we were heathens nevertheless. We never went to church. But when I was 16, my mother, long story short, my mother went to church like this, and she received Jesus, and she ended up getting me to go. And when I was 16, I prayed that prayer, and I made Jesus the Lord of my life, and my whole life changed. And I was thinking about it. You know, Kenneth Hagin, Jill and I went to Rhema Bible School when we were 18. And Rhema Bible School was founded by Kenneth E. Hagin. And if you don't know Kenneth E. Hagin's story, Kenneth E. Hagin, when he was 15 years old, he was so sick, he died when he was 15. And he found himself in hell. Have you ever read the story, My Trip to Hell? Kenneth Hagin died for 15. He was so sick because he had heart disease and he was paralyzed and all kinds of things. And he was in hell. And he cried out to God. God, I'm a Southern Baptist. That's what he cried out. I'm a Southern Baptist. He couldn't understand why he's going to hell because he belonged to the Southern Baptist Church. I'm a Southern Baptist. And he's going down. And he comes to the gates of hell. He sees the demons waiting to take him in. And all of a sudden, he starts going up. He comes back into his body. And the Lord, long story short, but the Lord healed him. And he went on and preached the gospel for over 60 years. Now, here's my point. He was 15 years old when he was on his way to hell. You've got to understand, family, that when you reach an age of understanding and choice, that is when we become accountable. I don't know what age it is, but all I can tell you is that Kenneth Hagin was 15 years old and he was on his way to hell. And I was 16. And I know that if I died, I would have gone to hell. I know it. But I made Jesus the Lord of my life. And thank God. Now, I don't fear death. I'm not planning on going anytime soon, but I don't fear death. For us, death is something we're all looking forward to. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Let me tell you, you take one glimpse of heaven, you'll never want to come back. You'll never want to return. Amen? Amen. You get something out of this today? Wonderful. Well, we're so glad that you were here today. And I want to thank all of you who watched us online. We had over 750 watch this on Facebook last week. And let me mention this. If you miss the live stream, you can go back and watch it anytime. You can watch the Facebook live stream. We leave it up. Or you can go to our YouTube, Ascend Church Jupiter, and you can watch this morning's live stream anytime in the week. So we have it on Facebook. We have it on YouTube. We have it on our website, ascendchurch.us, and we have it on our mobile app. There's four places where you can watch this service this week. Share it with other people. You glad you came today? Can I ask you, when you go out today, on the counters, we got these little invitation cards. You're invited. Won't you take some and start inviting people to come to church again? It's safe. It's safe. Start inviting them. We love you. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday. Amen. Thank you, everybody. God bless. We'll see you next time.